You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bird.
Chris Gilpin.
And I'm Batman.
And I'm Batman. I was going to say it.
What?
I was driving home because he's right there. I was driving home from work and they had a contest on the Wolf. It was name this character.
I heard that too, yes.
Right? And it's like, what are you? I want you to tell your friends about me. It's like, what? Name that character. Michael Keaton is Batman.
As Adam West so eloquently put it, I never had to tell anybody I was Batman.
He just knew.
Everybody's talking about Batman because I have a Batman desktop standee from the dollar store.
Yeah, Dollarama.
So for
it's amazing, like, what the dollar store can get.
Well, this has the old DC folding corner logo.
Yeah, like circa 2008.
Yeah, so this is there's got to be a year on it somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know, what year did they change that?
Did they change it with the new 52 or was that before the new 52?
I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Probably one of DC's shortest-lived logos ever. But I'm not 100% sure, but it sure looks like Jose Garcia Lopez art to me. I could be wrong, but it's this really cool 1970s Batman cardboard cutout stand-up thing for your desk. Yeah. That's probably why it's called a desktop standee, because it stands
on your desk. Right.
So there's going to be one in the radio station studio here, in case anybody's wondering from any of the other Trent radio stations why there's a Batman in here. It's because the Hey Kids Comics radio show guys put it there.
That's right. Yes. So we were on the intro. They were talking about Dark Knight Strikes Back or Returns, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the latest Gotham?
No, I haven't watched Gotham in like 2-3 seasons.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Because there were some bad guys on there that looked a lot like the punks, the bad punks.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, because Gotham is in turmoil. All the bridges are blown up, and everybody's trapped inside in different sections. But these guys looked exactly he had that visor on, the one Cyclops visor.
The big guy.
Yeah. But yeah.
Cool. Oh, I haven't read that in a while. I should reread that. You know what I haven't read, though, is Master Race, the third book. I still haven't read that yet.
Yeah.
I've got all the singles, and then I went out and I got the trade paperback, and I just haven't read it yet. It's just in my big, massive, I mean, ginormous to-read pile. My to-read pile has never been this big in my entire life.
Yeah.
I bought them all off Chris, like, what, a year ago? Yeah. Probably right around a year ago this time.
Did you read them?
Nope. Don't even know if I could tell you where they are at the moment. Oh, don't even know if they're at my house.
It's just sad. Like, I'm just surrounded by piles and piles. And it's just like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to, maybe this weekend when we all get snowed in, we'll just sit there and read forever and a day.
Do you ever wonder if someday someone will find your decomposing body under a stack of trade paperbacks you should have read?
It's possible. It'll just fall over top of me and nobody loves me anymore. So it'll just fall on top of me and nobody will know I'm gone. Oh. Nobody will care.
I'll know when I come and steal your collection.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't heard from Martin for a little bit. Let's go see and grab all his stuff before somebody else takes it.
That's right.
Well, maybe I should get cats so at least I feed something when I die.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this then.
Okay. What do you got?
Because if you mentioned with the cat.
Yes.
Marvel cat variants available for purchase this spring.
What?
Yeah. On Newsarama. Like, what is Marvel doing?
Oh my God! You know, I'm just. I pick up my books.
Variants.
I can already hear Sam like slapping Sam's his mic
right.
down.
I need these.
Take my money.
Take my money now.
I want them all.
Oh man!
Like I get it. You know, whatever. It's cats are cats, but this whole variant thing is just getting stupid. Like, they had Kevin Boyd posted on the book face, something about the top. Titles the highest grossing single issues for 2018, and it was like all number ones are anniversary issues, so like Action Comics number 1000. I'm not sure if it was that one, but you know, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man 800, 700, 800,
700.
And then
no 800. I can't remember.
Doesn't matter. It's probably in my to read pile, anyways.
Yeah.
But all the top five or so books, they were all like relaunches, renumber ones, and anniversary issues that had 1.5 billion variants with them. I don't know. It's just dumb. Like I pick up my books at Grey Guardian, and I don't know. Alphabetically, I should be at the top of the list, but apparently I'm at the bottom of the list. So when Alex is sorting things, I get like the dregs, and he keeps giving me these those DC variant covers where there's no trade dress on them. It's just like text at the bottom.
Yeah.
I'm blind. I'm old. I can't see those issue numbers when sorting. It's like, what is this? I don't know what issue this is. And then I'm cataloging, and
apparently there's 6 so far, and there's Wolverine Cat.
Oh my gosh.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm kind of burnt out on variants.
I feel like none of us have. We can go back through 2 to 3 years of shows and find maybe at the beginning we talked about enjoying a variant or two.
Yeah, it's just gotten worse and worse. It's like, oh, guys, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Well,
I just saw Highlander on the screen.
Nope. Don't talk about it. We don't want Adam Bishop calling in.
What are you talking about? Highlander's the greatest.
They're rebooting the Highlander?
Yeah, they've been talking about that for a while now, and they just haven't gotten around to it, but they're going to eventually. Hey, I actually read some of my comics from my to-read pile. I don't know about you guys.
I'm catching up. I'm putting them in.
I skipped the to-read pile and went to the bookcase full of things I haven't read.
Yeah, yeah. So one thing I read was Freedom Fighters from DC. Relaunch / 12-issue maxi series of the old 1970s Freedom Fighter comic. I don't know if you remember Freedom Fighter. It was was it Fawcett? What was the publisher that they got all these characters from?
I can't remember.
I can't remember, but it was like Uncle Sam, Doll Man. I don't remember. I want to say Silk Spectre, but I know that's not right.
No, there was the guy that
the Human Bomb.
Yeah, the Human Bomb. Yeah.
We said Doll Man. I don't know. So it's basically Earth X. It's always been called Earth X, and this is the Earth where the Nazis won World War II. So Black Condor's in here, and it was actually pretty good. It was all right. I liked it. It's got Eddie Barrows doing some art and stuff, and it was a good story. But I mean, it's issue 1 of 12, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I don't think I have issue 2 yet, but. That was pretty good.
No delays yet.
Well, we don't even want to talk about all the delays that are going on, do we? Like Batman Damned and stuff.
Hmm.
Then I read Martian Manhunter.
Phantom Lady.
Phantom Lady, that's right.
Black Condor.
That's right. Anyone read Martian Manhunter? Did anybody read anything, or am I just going to be talking about
comics.
These? Quality. That's right.
I've been reading some stuff, and I don't know if it's just because I'm getting old, but... The last issue of Batman I read, it was like when I read the Batman Who Laughs number 1. Like, I read it and I was like, what just happened?
So I bought that, but I haven't read it yet.
So I'm reading Batman 61 with the Penguin, and I don't know. The Waynes are back, and Bruce, I just like, what's happening? I don't know. I guess I get confused easily.
That's, here we are doing a radio show on comic books, and we're not even reading any.
That is not true.
All right, well.
That is not true. You read comics. They're right there.
That's right.
Yeah, but nobody else read these ones. So
nobody else read those ones. Yeah. That's true, because you know what?
We got three more to talk about, and nobody gives a crap.
I
want to hear about this one. This one.
I was going to say, our tastes are so varied that we've read a bunch of different things. I haven't read any DC. I've only read independent stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did
Chris has a Marvel book in front of him.
Yeah, well.
Chris really wants you to talk about Young Justice.
All
and we'll
right.
get to what I got.
This one right here, this green girl.
What about her?
Why?
Why not? Okay.
Why what?
So, Brian Michael Bendis starts a new imprint at DC Comics called Wonder Comics. And one of the titles that came out is Young Justice. And if anybody doesn't remember who Young Justice is, it's basically the precursor to the relaunch of the Teen Titans. And this is all the it's like Superboy and Wonder Girl and Impulse and stuff like this. And they got Jonah Hex's great-granddaughter is in here. She's Jeannie Hex or something like this. Chris is bent out of shape because there's a Green Lantern here on the cover, and this Green Lantern is a hacker who hacked a Green Lantern ring to work with her. She wasn't chosen by the Green Lantern ring. Now, he's all up in arms because, no, the ring chooses people and chooses. But then you look at it, I don't know what's going on with Kyle. Is he still a White Lantern?
I don't know.
Or is he dead? John Stewart has a wing, tattooed ring. He doesn't even have a ring. It's a tattoo. Hal Jordan has a ring made out of willpower. It's not even a ring. Like, what?
So whose ring is it that she's got?
I have no idea. They don't get into that in the issue one. Issue one's like, hey, this is this new character. You're bent out of shape on that. You should be bent out of shape on the entire Green Lantern Corps. Like, what's going on the whole darn thing?
But okay, let's clear our minds here.
Let's get another spectrum of color and make another set of rings.
Let's clear our mind and think of a young girl hacks an iconic thing to create it, to make it her own.
Yeah. How is that different from a tattoo working like a ring?
But let's think of Bendis, Ironheart.
What about it?
Did he not create the what's her name? Riri Williams that hacked the Iron Man?
No.
Eh?
Yeah.
Where's his originality? He goes to DC and he gets another iconic thing that gets hacked by a young girl. Like,
that's because everybody's hacking. They were hacking like crazy on Thursday. We had 350 customers that were kind of upset because people were hacking. There's hackers everywhere. I don't know. I mean,
now we know who's to blame for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's Bendis.
Bendis
is encouraging those darn kids to hack.
If your email server stopped working on Thursday, you can blame Brian Michael Bendis.
That's right.
Send him some hate mail.
But Young Justice, actually, it was a really good book. It's a good story. It's got great art. What's Gleason's first name?
Greg? Patrick.
Patrick Gleason. He did. He did a bunch of Superman issues and stuff for Action. I think it was, wasn't it?
I don't know. I know he did some Action. Green Lantern ones back when. He did. Yeah, and he did some Batman ones back right after Grant Morrison left the run.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good book, and it's actually one heck of a team book story. As far as, like, I'm reading Justice League. And Justice League is, oh my gosh, it's just a train wreck. It's just bad. It's just bad. And this is a good team book. So far with issue one. I mean, gosh, only knows. Issue two might come out and wait to honk the big bobo. But Chris is just shaking his head. Oh, get this Bendis off me. I don't want to touch any Bendis.
That's the first appearance of a hacked Green Lantern ring, right?
Yeah.
So we can slab that.
Yes, we got to slab this because I think it's movie. Also like the first appearance of
Jonah Hex's
great granddaughter, daughter, aunt, great aunt, great nephew, niece. I don't know what she is, but
does she look better than Jonah Hex?
Yes,
or
nobody put a brand to her face and made that scar. Well, you would think that if you had that scar,
the
Jonah Hex scar across your face, across your teeth, and you got this big, massive Bowie knife, and you're this big tough guy, you would think you'd like snip snip and cut it off. But no, you're gonna walk around with this big piece of melted skin across your teeth like this so you can look cool. I don't know, I always thought that was weird.
Yeah,
he's a tough guy, break out the knife, cut it off.
Or cut one off and let it flap there in the air.
That's disgusting.
I did read Walking Dead.
Which one?
The last three issues, because I had to go buy them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just boring.
Yeah, I'm not caught up. I haven't been to Oshawa to pick up my comics for a couple weeks. So
that's why you should switch to Peterborough.
Yeah, I'm too lazy.
Because they're right there, down the street.
Yeah, I could literally walk.
You could literally walk there.
But instead, I'll drive because I'm too lazy to switch.
There you go.
I don't know. It's just either ended or it's just like boring now. It's
like we've said this before, but like each story arc is just what one issue would have been back in between issue 1 and 50.
Yeah.
Like they would cram a whole story arc's worth of plot into one issue, and now a conversation takes an entire issue. Like it's just stretched out and there's not much happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I read Batman.
Kind of like this show.
No.
But this Batman, show is damn. Supposed to be conversation.
Like we're stretching because we got nothing to talk about.
Batman Damn number 2?
I did not read it because I sold issue 1. Made a little bit of money selling issue 1. It's just one of those things. I'm like, you know what? This thing's going to come out in a trade paperback. This is going to come out in a hardcover, and I'll not read it then. So why bother buying the 3 single issues and not read that as well? Like, really?
Oh, man.
I don't know. Is there more Batawang? Is there less Batawang?
No. There's a Harley Quinn.
There's a Harley Quinn-a-Wang?
Harley Quinn-a-Wang.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So you want to talk about my amazing Spider-Man?
Yeah, sure. Shoot.
So I'm at the market, and I picked up...
Which market?
My market, my Lakefield
the
market.
The Lakefield Flea Market every Sunday at the Lakefield Fairgrounds.
That's right.
Come on down, and you can get your wonderful antiques and collectibles at the Lakefield Flea Market.
There you go. So a couple weeks ago, I bought this old Captain America puzzle for $3. Right. So I put it out for 10, whatever. And I knew one of the other vendors, he was interested in it, so he was looking at it last week. He comes to me later in the day and he says, hey, check this book out. So it's a big Stan Lee's Amazing Marvel Universe. It's got the whole sound thing on the side, right? And it's in great, like, brand new shape. It's like $40, 40 Canadian to buy. And we're talking about going, oh, man, that's pretty awesome. Like, you know. And he's like, well, I'll trade you. I said, trade me for what? He goes, that puzzle. And he knows I got it for $3. This thing's like, I'm going, okay.
Well, that means he got this for $3.
Well, apparently he bought it. Anyways, doesn't matter. But it's pretty cool. It's got the old, you pick the number of the story, and then...
In those days, the post office had a law saying...
Good old Stanley.
Publishers couldn't call a company...
And there's like 40... 68 sound bites.
You picked the longest sound bite there is in the book.
No, that's the first one. That's the very first one.
Now we gotta pay like rights and stuff.
Shh, Stan.
Shh. It's awesome.
Was this the one that was for sale at Costco?
I don't know. Maybe it was. I don't know, but it was pretty cool. It's got a lot of old artwork.
Silver Surfer cover number 1.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Mary Jane Watson. Yep. You hit the jackpot, yep. Tiger, I'll say.
There you go.
Kabam.
But it's a pretty cool book.
If you like Marvel.
If you like Marvel. Yeah. Oh, you
Avengers
guys.
Number 1. Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, this is pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
This is cool. Did I mention that there was a... Oh, what is this? The Destroyer. Sorry, I got
voiced
distracted.
By Stan Lee.
The Destroyer. By Stan Lee. Who's the Destroyer? Did he... Oh. Why do I get the impression this guy has made an appearance elsewhere?
I don't know.
I feel like he's been around. He kind of looks like the Phantom mixed with the Vision. Anyways, Jane Foster, Betty Ross. Oh, the girlfriends. There's a whole section on girlfriends.
There you go.
Gwen Stacy, Jane Foster, Mary Jane, Betsy Ross, Banner. Yeah, Mary Jane wins.
Oh. Speaking of this whole show that we don't have anything to talk about keeps segueing. Speaking of Mary Jane, the new Spider-Man really far from home and on the other side of the world in a field trip trailer came out. Do we want to talk about that? Because you know where I'm going with it, right?
Okay, you go ahead and go wherever you want to go with it. All I know is the trailer came out. This is going to be, like, if you follow the whole convoluted, nonsensical craziness, the last Spider-Man movie was made by Marvel Studios. This Spider-Man movie is actually made by Sony Pictures or one of Sony Pictures' divisions, much like the Venom movie. Mm-hmm. So it'll say in association with Marvel. Yeah. It's not actually made by Marvel. So we got some high hopes that this thing is... You know, because typically all the other movies that are not directly under Kevin Feige's amazing control have kind of sucked. You know, like the three Fantastic Four movies. Like the first two were kind of quirky and kind of goofy, and they were okay for what they were. And then the other one came out and it was just brutal. But I liked Venom, so I'm kind of hoping that they kind of carry on and continue and follow along in the rest of the trilogy to the first movie. So it looked pretty good to me. With some exceptions.
I mean, Marissa Tomei looks even hotter than she did in the last one.
Come on, that was the best part of the trailer. If you haven't seen the trailer, go see it. What's his name? Not Foggy Nelson. What's Favreau's character?
She's
Iron Man psychic. Yeah, Happy. So Happy is like sitting there kind of semi-flirting. And it's just like amazing. And I'm just like, this is great. This is hot. Yeah, and Spidey's like, what the heck just happened right now? Why are you flirting with my aunt in front of me?
Yeah. And now she looks like 5 years older than I am. Like, what the heck?
That Facebook meme thing that's running around 10 years later.
Oh.
I saw one. What's her name? Aunt May from the very first Tobey Maguire movie. And then Marissa Tomei. It was like 10 years later.
Yeah. I don't know. Spider-Man not in New York is kind of weird to me, but...
It's European Spider-Man.
It's European. And he's got lots of costumes, apparently, even though he didn't bring his costume. But I'm sure Happy has
them. It's no less weird than Tokyo Spider-Man.
Right.
We squeezed that plot thread for what 30 issues?
Oh man! Oh, what was it? What did they do to Mysterio? Like, Mysterio. Since when can he fly and shoot laser beams out of his
hands?
I thought
he could always like he had like a didn't he always have like a Green Goblin type scooter sled that he could fly. I'm not a big, huge, massive Spider-Man fan from the old days, so I don't remember that much about his classic villains and stuff.
Yeah.
That was more Spider-Man starting with Todd McFarlane onward.
Yeah.
But I thought Mysterio, doesn't he have like some kind of flying scooter?
He's an illusionist. He drops smoke bombs and
maybe
runs
it was
away.
All an illusion and he actually wasn't flying.
Yeah, I don't know. He seemed kind of hero-ish.
Yeah, and he was like, stand back. I've got this.
Well, I've got this.
You don't want any part of this. Oh, I don't know.
Allow me to scare the villain with my fishbowl of doom.
I like seeing Nick Fury.
Yeah. Now Samuel Jackson just totally took over that role and claimed it as his own. It's just awesome.
Yeah. So that was good.
But I mean, he's in... isn't Captain Marvel coming out like a couple of weeks?
Soon, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's... they youngified him in that... Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Did they give him the Princess Leia look?
I have no idea. So, yeah, should be good.
Yeah.
So what is your complaint about this trailer?
No, just, I don't know.
That it's not in New York.
It's not in New York.
And?
Marissa Tomei looks like she's now 20 years old.
Right, and there's one more. Keep going. You're almost there. Mary Jane Watson is...
We can take out every single scene with... People call me MJ. And her name isn't even Mary Jane. It's like, I don't know, Joan or something. It's not her. Why did they call you MJ when your name's like Frida? Like, I don't get it.
Frida. I don't think the name is Frida.
Just take the whole stuff out. That was one of the worst things of that first movie was people call me MJ. It's like, oh my God. Are you serious?
Well, they saved that bit for the last, for the end, so it wasn't that bad.
My little said basic dagger. Oh, man. I don't know. But I've got nothing against Tom Holland. I think he does a great job. And the suit, I mean, it's going to be fun to watch for sure.
But sure.
Captain Marvel, yeah, right? That should be, they got some high hopes for that one, too.
Well, yeah, she's supposed to be the new flagship character. She's supposed to be the new Captain America to take over and ground the next three, not the very next Avengers movie, but the three after that.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to be in this one, but, I mean, she's supposed to be the new Chris Evans as far and just like, have my timelines right? First it was Tony Stark, right?
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. kind of set the motion, set the pace. And then Captain America shows up and he sets the motion and the pace. Yeah. And then it was like the Great Guardians for a little bit. And now it's Captain Marvel's turn to kind of make a lot of guest appearances in all the other movies and kind of get the overall story arc over the movies kind of tie it all together.
So this is an origin movie. It takes place in the past. Right? It
takes place in the 80s because the very first thing you see in the trailer is her crashing to Earth and landing in a Blockbuster, and my heart broke.
I know, right?
I was just like, Blockbuster! Oh.
This isn't fair.
I even went and I pulled out my old Blockbuster gold card, and I was just like looking at it and going, oh, my gold card. My gold card. I remember playing softball with a guy who worked at Blockbuster, and I was like, yeah, I used to go to Blockbuster all the time. I have a gold card. He's like, a what? Like a gold card, Blockbuster gold card. There's no such thing. I'm like, yeah, there is. No, there isn't. So the very next day, I walked into Blockbuster, walked in with my Blockbuster membership card with my name embossed on it, and I'm like, bam! How'd you get that? Rent a lot of movies. Yeah. A lot. Like 9 a week.
Yeah.
We'd grab 3 movies on Friday night, watch them. Saturday, it's like, well, we better take these back, otherwise we're going to pay a late fee, and while we're there, oh, we might as well grab 3.
Yeah.
Oh, we got more. Watch the. So we got to take these back on Sunday, so we don't pay a late fee. Oh, we got 3 more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the internet.
And then that's the right. Internet's happened.
But my assumption is that the next Avengers movies, she's gonna come swooping in and save the day at the end of it or something. Yeah. Or halfway through.
Yeah. She's supposed to come and save the day with what's left of the heroes that didn't melt and turn into sawdust or whatever the heck it is. So yeah. We'll see how it goes.
I love the new people like, well, he's dead, he's gone. All these people are gone.
Yeah.
And then you scream at them, how big of an idiot are you?
Yeah, God, Thanos made him disappear with a snap of his finger. What do you think will happen when Captain Marvel puts the glove on and snaps her finger?
Yeah.
Like, give me a break.
We know where it's going.
Louise.
It's going to be a little emotional to get there. But
especially, though, because they didn't do it to any of the characters that we know the actors probably aren't coming back. It's all Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, all the characters that are just starting their arcs.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
Who honestly in their right mind believes that any of those characters are gone? Because that you're just, have you never seen a movie in your life?
We're talking about Marvel fans. None of them are in their right mind, right, Harold? Look at you, Sully. But, I had some other wiseacre crack or comment to make. I can't remember what it was. What were we talking about? Oh, Marvel. Yeah, like Marvel death. Oh, no. See, when a Marvel character dies, they stay dead. Yeah. Unlike DC, where they keep bringing them back. Like when Gwen Stacy. Oh, no, never mind. No. When Bucky Barts. Oh, shoot, never mind. When. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
It's comic books. Everybody dies. Oh, jeez. Everybody
and you
dies.
You just killed
back.
That microphone.
Stop. Aquaman. People, I know some Marvel people are going to kill me, but it's right up there visually with Black Panther.
It's an awesome movie.
Like these Marvel guys, oh, it's a horrible movie. It's just the worst. Did you see it? No, I just know it's horrible because it's DC.
What are you talking about? $1 billion aqua dollars. I was reading the one, it was Forbes magazine, right? Aquaman set to pass $300 million. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
No North American box office, because that's all we Americans care about is the North American box office. We don't even call it the North American box office. We call it the domestic box office, even though it's international because it includes Canada. But the domestic box office is only $300 million. $1 billion this thing has made. $1 billion. How's that for sound levels?
There you go.
$1 billion. $1 billion. That is one happy, happy fish. But I've seen. Look, it's entertainment. Like, let's stop getting all freaky deaky about it. It's just entertainment. It's just a movie. It's just supposed to make you forget about taxes and ex-wives for 2 hours. That's all it's supposed to do. It's not supposed to do anything else. It doesn't matter. So exactly. In fact, it's even better when Aunt May's hot because Marissa Tomei is hot. Oh, that's a lifelong crush I've had. But anyways,
did you see Aquaman, Dan?
I have not seen Aquaman.
What are you doing?
So the one guy's complaining that the soundtrack sounds too 80s video game science fiction-y. And I'm like, that's exactly what they were going for, was a 1980s kind of...
Is that like saying Ready Player One has too many video game references?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what are you talking about? That was the aesthetic they were going for. Oh, I didn't like music like that because I'm from the 70s and only 70s music is good. It's like these Mego... The Mego came back. I think we talked about it for a little bit. But they're coming back with these action figures and stuff, right? And it's like, okay, we're going to release a Full House set because Full House just got rebooted, right? Now it's Fuller House, the sitcom.
Yeah.
We're gonna do Kiss because Kiss is huge and popular, right? And we're gonna do Facts of Life, and they did a bunch of things that, you know, were just relaunching in Netflix or being rebooted, or, you know, there was a movie and there was some interest in that particular pop culture item, and these guys are like, I need a Barney Miller set. I need a Telly Savalas action figure. I think we should get Leave It to Beaver figures. But those Facts of Life figures are just a waste of time. Like, what are you talking about?
Now, the Golden Girls, that was a must. But Facts of Life, who needs a tootie?
Who needs a tootie? So, yeah, like, you know.
Mrs.
Garrett.
Mrs. Garrett, you don't need Mrs. Garrett.
The complaints that these people have about the Aquaman movie like that, it's just like, what are you talking about? It's like, I guess I tease Marvel a lot because I'm a DC guy. So, but that's because since the 1960s, you Marvel zombies have been peeping and pooping on me since then. I haven't gotten over it yet. So I take it out now in a passive-aggressive way on you people.
That's right. Justice League was a good movie.
Was a good movie.
Ben Affleck is a fine Batman. I've got no problem with him.
Ben Affleck's the best Batman ever. Aside from Michael Keaton.
Well, seriously, do you have an issue with Ben Affleck? Because Bruce Wayne's not.
Oh, I thought he was great.
I thought he was great too.
And I thought that Superman.
Henry Cavill.
Yes, Henry. Oh man, I remember him from the Tudors. He was great. He was an awesome Superman. He was a great Superman. I even liked emo bearded stealing clothes in Alaska's version of Superman. Like, I just liked the character. It was good. It was fine. It's just a movie. Relax. Just go and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit here on the internet and I'm going to whine and complain for 3 months before the movie even comes out. That's not my Venom. Well, no, it wasn't. It was somebody else's Venom because people went and saw it.
Yeah. No, there is a version of Venom that came down with J. Jonah Jameson Jr., right? From the spaceship. There was something about that.
I don't remember. I don't remember at all.
I remember something.
Because, like, that. the original symbiote was from Secret Wars, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, Spidey found him out there on that whatever planet it was that he got zapped
in. In a big factory type thing.
Yeah. But, no, I think there was something about...
I want to say it was the cartoon, one of the animated shows.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good movie, too. Venom. Yeah. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, besides the glaring plot holes, but that's fine.
What movie doesn't have glaring plot holes? The best plot hole, before I get in trouble and say pot lol, is the security guys that you were talking about. Oh my gosh, that was the best. Nobody catches Tom Hardy walking around, slamming fire extinguishers into the glass.
That's the plot hole.
Nothing's happening. He just walks in. Nobody's double-checking. There's no heat sensors or anything. Everything's good. Oh, but he had the girl's pass. Okay, yeah,
doesn't turn the cameras off.
I have a customer. Yeah, the cameras don't get turned off. And you know, you two people walk in, you need two passes. You can't just walk in with one pass. And everything's fine. And then, like, the next scene, it's like, yeah, we found out that it was you.
Yeah, but that was, like, 2 days later.
2 days later. 2 days later.
But this is the highest tech building ever made.
It took us that long to run the DNA on the door handle.
But what's her face with the Venom costume on? That was pretty cool, too. Who was the woman? Who was the female lead in that? I can't remember.
Heath Ledger's ex-wife.
My old man brain is... Anyways, she looked pretty good when she had the Venom.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah. But there was something missing with the whole... The thing that made Venom great was the whole Eddie Brock versus Peter Parker Venom.
I'll take your word for it.
Versus Spider-Man.
I'll take your word for it. That's how it started.
That's how it started.
But it didn't last that long. I mean, Venom got his own comic book and has his own adventures and his own stories, and he's created his own little mythology.
Like,
and
let's look at the Venom comics from, like, the 90s. Were they good? I don't think they were good.
Lethal Protectors.
Yeah, like all of that stuff. Like, what that wasn't doing? Good.
No comic book from the 90s was
okay.
Good.
You won. Yes. You won the show. That's the quote of the day.
They were just tolerable. That's when X-Men started dying. That's when Fantastic Four started dying. Well, no, Fantastic Four's been dying for decades, but we won't get into that.
I haven't read any of the newer Venom comics. But they seem to be
popular. Doesn't matter
how
long it lasted. There was a story there. Like,
yeah, and?
Peter Parker's, you know.
Right, but there's also 60 other stories that were there as well, and they pick and choose. It's like Mark was having a problem. Mark, Shane Bloom, I think it was, had the Titans movie, Titans cartoon, TV show, was a bit too dark for him. Which it is. It's a dark interpretation. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. And he was like, oh, it's not quite the colorful Marv Wolfman, George Perez. And I'm like, dude, that was 35 years ago. Yeah. There's 35 years of stories since then that they were like, would I have loved to have seen a really faithful Marv Wolfman, George Perez, New Teen Titans TV show? Absolutely, because I love that comic. I'm with Mark. I love that book. Mm-hmm. But was I expecting it? Gosh, no.
I almost thought Nightwing was going to make an appearance at the end, but
I'm sure he will soon. Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, again, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm watching The Gifted or Runaways or one of those other shows. Maybe it was Gotham, and I'm like, this is too dark. This is not right. This is too grim and gritty, and this isn't like doing it for me. Mm-hmm. And then Titans comes along, and it's dark and grim and gritty, and I'm like, this is awesome.
It's awesome.
So I don't know if it's. I just don't think it's the subject. I don't think it's the environment. Maybe environment's the wrong word. What am I looking for here? The look and feel that people have issues or non-issues with. It's the writing. It's the characterization. Like, yeah, this is a different version of Starfire, but she's a great version of Starfire.
Yeah, she's not what people thought she was going to be the pictures.
Like, it's a great characterization. And, you know, Raven was always the same age as Dick and Corey and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And Donna, hearing this, she's obviously quite younger. And that's kind of how the cartoon is, too, right? Isn't Cyborg like the adult and the kind
of... I don't know if you could call any of them adults.
Like, he's the big guy in the Justice League. He's the older fellow, and he was like more mm-hmm. like the mentor in the comic for a little while. I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was good.
So how about Heroes in Crisis? Are you reading it?
That's one I actually am trying to read.
So you've read issue 3?
Which one's issue 3?
Well, I think that was the one I was reading, and I asked you if you read it yet, because there was something that happened that I knew you would like. It involved Lois Lane. She was reading an article on the computer, and she was like, who are the Justice Society? Do you remember that?
No, I'm going to have to reread it. I'm pretty sure I read the issue where she writes the article spilling the beans on the farm. What was the farm? What's the farm called?
The farm.
Sanctuary,
yeah.
She writes the article on Sanctuary and kind of blows the lid off of this thing. Yeah. And Batman's all upset because, you know, control your woman. That was basically it.
So there's
Can you not control your woman?
So there's one frame in there where she's looking at a picture.
Yeah.
And it's got the Justice Society.
Oh, I missed that. I'll have to go back and look at that.
Who are the Justice? So, I mean, to me, that's like, they're coming.
Oh, man, they've been coming since New 52.
I know.
They've been coming since they were kicked out.
Like, honestly, I know what the problem is. It's a Geoff Johns baby.
He wanted to write it. He wanted to make it. So he kept saving it for himself. But he got so involved in other things and the move to the east, to the West Coast, and the movies. And, you know, he was heavily involved in the Justice League movie and all that sort of nonsensical stuff and Batman versus Superman. And it just he just never got to it. So now what?
But he did like write the big series, right? The old...
He wrote some of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Justice Society, yeah.
Like, the other one that he was supposed to do is he was supposed to reboot Legion of Superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those were the two pet projects of his that were supposed to be... What was that name of that DC series that was supposed to, like, launch everything and then it took forever and it was... Doomsday Clock.
Yeah.
All this stuff was supposed to come out of Doomsday Clock. Doomsday Clock's still not done yet, is it?
I don't think it's not. It's halfway through.
I think the latest thing I saw is that issue 9's been delayed. When you're already putting out a book every other month and it's delayed. I don't think I've read since issue 3.
There's a snarky, smart butt Chapter House comment here to be made that I'm going to not make. If it's that late, you're not...
If you're going to do an event, have majority of it done and ready to go.
Like, I get the economics of how that's hard to have 12 issues done, completed, artist paid, ready to go and print. I get that.
We'll have issue 1 to 8 done when issue 1 hits
the shelves. But DC Comics is owned by Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers is not... They're not hurting for money.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel's owned by Disney. They're not hurting for money. They can pay somebody to have all 6 issues of a miniseries done before they print it. They can pay somebody to have all 12 issues.
Yeah.
You know, a smaller independent publisher like, you know, we were goofing about Chapter House there for a second there, but smaller publisher like Chapter House or something like this, they might not have the capital resources to do something like that. Yeah. But this is Warner Brothers and Disney.
Yeah.
They got the monies.
Yeah.
They can do that.
Yeah.
So why
stop wasting time with variants and put the effort into the regular stuff.
So, yeah, all this stuff was supposed to come out of Doomsday Clock, and it looks like it's not going to. And I was noticing Bendis does this little Christmas thing every time. It's like the 12 days of Christmas or whatever, the preview of what's going to happen in the next year. And one of them was a picture of the Legion of Superheroes logo.
Mm-hmm.
So now everybody's like, oh, Bendis is going to reboot Legion of Superheroes. Well, okay. Yeah. I want a good Legion comic. Haven't had one since the 80s, but I want one.
Maybe somebody, a young girl, will find one of the Legion rings and hack it.
Maybe.
If it's a Bendis book.
Maybe.
Oh.
You never know.
Somebody from Warner Brothers knocks on Chris's door. Where did you get your information from? How did you find that leaked script?
That was supposed to be signed by an NDA. What are you doing?
Oh, I know. Sorry. Extermination.
Yeah.
The X-Men are back. The kids are back where they belong. Somehow they still have ongoing series that take... Each one has their own series that takes place now, but the 5 of them are gone.
Is that like a new miniseries?
They're back. No.
Or is that the original Extermination?
Last issue was them going back to where they belong, memory wiped. I was like, oh, thank God. But somehow they still have their own, I know, Iceman.
How long did this take? This is like 5 years, 6 years?
Too many Bendis years, yeah.
Oh, it's all like that. I'm just so burnt out on that nonsense. I'm just fried. Hey, this new miniseries is coming out. I'm like, really? Should I just wait?
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. I mean, Mr. Miracle was an amazing series, and I just loved the heck out of it, and it was always top of the pile. And then the last few books were getting delayed, and as they were getting delayed, I'm like, oh, I should have just waited for the trade. Now the trade is delayed. You know, and then the final issue came out, and the final issue was kind of like, what?
I was like, they gave up and just threw something
like
down.
Bobby Ewing came out of the shower. It was like, what?
Yeah.
Well, come on.
It was all a dream.
Really? Oh, man. Come on. No. Make it mean something.
Nope.
But, you know, well, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. Anyways, another book I read was Shazam. That came out.
Written by Geoff Johns.
Yeah.
And?
With art by Dale Eaglesham. He's a Canadian, right?
Don't know.
I think Dale's a Canadian. But,
is it goofy like the movie?
No, you remember he had the Superman series in the back of something? Is it the back of Superman or the back of Justice League?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's just a continuation of that story.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, really? You know, and the movies come in, and I'm like, okay, yeah. Hey, great, Shazam.
Shazam! One of the few characters that can take on Superman. And
I guess.
They don't give him the respect.
Captain Comet took on Superman. Dan, you got much more interesting stuff than Shazam.
I read some stuff.
You tell us what you read.
So back at the Tri-City Supercon in October, I picked up a few comics from Andy Stanley from AH Comics. Yeah. One called Titan, an Alternate History, and Mark Twain's Niagara, the graphic novel.
No, I picked up Niagara from Keith Greco.
Yeah.
Gratchow,
I believe.
Gratchow.
Yeah.
I grabbed that from Keith at the Christmas Toronto show. And I've had Titan forever and a day, and it's in my to-read pile.
So Titan, I read Titan in like one sitting, which, you know, not too hard with a graphic novel, but I don't usually manage to get through a whole graphic novel in one sitting. Sat down just after Christmas, probably full of turkey, and was like, read something. And I read it, and was a very interesting story about basically about a character who is all throughout history. It's the same person throughout history, and sort of history is repeating itself over and over again as this guy is trying to take over the world throughout different segments of history. And it was very interesting. I enjoyed it. And then you get to the end, and it kind of ends, but it's also a cliffhanger, and it says, like, to be continued. And that was, like, 6 years ago. Like, so we need some more, Andy. We need some more. I'm not even going to try to say who the author is, because I will absolutely butcher the last name of the author there.
Oh, yeah.
And Marty's holding it, so I can't even see what his first name is.
There's no vowels in that name.
You would think a Pole, such as myself, would be able to pronounce this.
Is there any vowels in that name?
Yeah, there's Y's. There's one, two, three Y's.
Y is not a vowel.
Yes, it is. A-E-I-O-U, so sometimes
it was,
Y.
It was written by Michael T., we'll call him.
I want to say...
His name starts with a T, sorry, Michael.
Timishin.
With the art by Andy Stanley.
Yeah.
Very good, I enjoyed it.
Now, is that Andy's real name, Stan Lee?
Well, it's not spelled like Stan Lee, and yes, I would assume so, since...
I don't know. I mean, everybody seems to have pseudonyms in the Toronto comic community.
Based on Facebook, I would say yes. And then I also read the Mark Twain's Niagara, a graphic novel, which is truly... This is a work of art, because like it takes Mark Twain's words... And put some Canadian artists are doing all the illustrations. And so, like, each chapter of this book is a different Canadian artist doing the illustrations, including, like, some greats like Claude Saint-Aubin.
Yes,
and,
that's a great.
And, you know, Ty Templeton.
Also a great.
And some other people that Marty might not think are so great. But, you know, there's great art in here from Richard Pace, Keith Gratchow, as you said. I'm actually mad at myself because I didn't realize he was he had done the art here. But then when I looked back at his segment, I could immediately see once I knew. I was like, oh, yeah, I recognize that from his, like, from his other work that I've bought. And it was just a really... Interesting story.
That's been around for a couple of years, hasn't it? Because I remember I have two Lex Luthors in my life.
No, it's 2018, so.
Oh, really? I thought it was older than that. But I've got two Lex Luthors in my life, not of my choosing. And one of them's involved in this book, so I passed on it immediately because I didn't want to.
Sorry, took me a second.
Because I didn't want to. But then when Keith was showing it to me, I was like, yeah, that's so-and-so's book. He's like, no, I wrote a story in here. I drew a story in here, too. I'm like, really? Oh. So then I took another look at it. It's like, no, there's an anthology. Like, there's, like, a whole bunch of people involved in this book. All the money won't go to just one person's pocket. So I'm like, immediately, all right, well, let's take a look. So I bought it as well, and I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. So I would say it's definitely worth the read. Great visuals. Honestly, I'm not just saying this to butter him up, but my favorite story is the one that Andy drew in this, because I just love the visuals. But the one that Claude Saint-Aubin drew is really good too. Those are my two favorites as far as the visual style.
He's the man.
So
he's one of the three. Yeah, we won't get into that. Let's just say one of the three Captain Canuck creators owes me art from 2016. Hmm. Paid for a commission and it never showed up.
I remember you talking about that.
No response to emails. I'm not going to say his name, but Richard Cumley's an awesome guy, and Claude Saint-Aubin is an amazing person. And so it's obviously not those two, so you can draw your own conclusions.
First, you have to study Captain Canuck history to find out who else is involved.
Yeah. No response to emails, no comments, no talking. Somebody said I should chase him down on with the yellow pages and the white pages, but I'm like, I'm not that guy. It'll happen or it doesn't. Anyways.
You will talk about it on the radio show.
Oh, yeah. What? $250.
Okay, I mean, yeah.
We should go to his house.
Still waiting. Not a word.
Let's go get it.
Not a comment.
Let's get it.
Not even a, hey, yeah, I'm working on it. Life's been busy. Mm. I got to be honest with you, for a little while, I'm like, maybe he passed away. maybe he's in a stroke. Like, you can't be mad at Norm Breyfogle for not, you know, doing art for a little while there, because he had a rough go. So maybe this guy's having a rough go. Let's not be judgmental and stuff. Let's just, No, apparently I'm just not important enough to get my commission, but that's okay. Anyways,
go Dan.
Yeah,
put some positivity into my night, because I'm just in a mood.
Happily ever after.
There you go.
From Ricky Lima.
Happy.
How can you not be more positive than this book? This book is awesome.
Yeah, from Ricky Lima. He wrote it. Nicholas, I'm gonna pronounce this wrong. Longia is my attempt. And then Andrew Thomas did the letters.
Who's Andrew Thomas?
Yeah, Andrew Thomas is a guy we've never worked with.
Who? Andrew who?
I heard he was a slacker. He does like nothing.
Yeah, he certainly doesn't work ridiculous amounts of hours on comic books.
Never.
So like,
apparently,
I got this one.
He was throwing Big Macs at a woman.
Apparently.
What? Anyways, go ahead, Dan. Sorry.
I got this one at Fan Expo. So I've had it for quite a while, and I just haven't had a chance to read it yet. And then I started it like yesterday, and I've read about half of it so far. And it's just that it's a great story. I love the story from the first bit that I read when Ricky ran the Kickstarter a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, just so far from what I'm reading, it's a great story about like all sorts of relationships, and it's not just a good story, but like there's a message behind it, and hopefully that it continues to be a good message. You never know, there might be a twist coming at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, right now I'm really enjoying it, and I don't know, have you guys read that one?
I read I was involved in the Kickstarter like you, so I've read the Kickstarter part of it,
like the issue one.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it was, I thought it was great. And then this we talked to Ricky at the Christmas Comic Con as well. And for some reason, I don't know what we were talking about, something else. And I looked at his table. I'm like, oh, no, I've got everything here. I don't need to buy anything. And then later on, it was like, no, wait a sec. I only got issue one of Happily Ever After. I never picked up the trade paperback in the because this was a second Kickstarter that he had.
Yeah.
Right? And then it was like, oh, geez, I should have got like a copy for me and a copy for my daughter, because she would read the snot out of that. She'd love that book. So next time, was that Toronto Comic Con in March?
In March.
I'm pretty sure I'll see Ricky there. I'll pick up a couple of copies.
Speaking of daughters reading the snot out of things, you know, Amelia's 8 years old. She's 7, going to be 8 in a couple of weeks. And so we were reading the Ghosts by Raina Telgemeier or whatever.
Yeah, one of those Scholastic graphic
novels. Yes.
Yep.
And she loved that book. And then so I took her to the chapters, and we picked out like another one by her, and we're reading The Babysitter's Club. And it's just like you said, like there's a whole slew of graphic novels aimed at younger girls that are not things that we would traditionally think of as comics.
Like Aaron's got a ton of them.
And she ate up the ghost story. Like, she was like begging me every night we were reading it. She was begging me to read more. And I'm like, no, like, you got to go to bed. School tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, it's just comics, you know, I don't know.
I should check under Aaron's bed. She probably has a whole whack that you guys can have and read. Because, you know, she's like me, reads, puts it on the shelf, and it sits there forever and a day. And then you move and you put it in the box.
If she reads them, then she's not like you.
Yes, this is true. She actually reads them. Unlike me, I just kind of hoard them with this threat and promise I'm going to read them, and I never get to it. I got the Aquaman reprint for the 70s Aquaman stories, Where is Mira and stuff like this.
Yeah.
And it's sitting there, in like literally in the middle of the floor.
I find that reprints are my, like, reprints and, like, reissues of things are, like, my vice that after I buy it, though, I never look at it.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, this is going to be so great. Oh, I have to have it. And then I buy it, and I'm like, slide it into the shelf. I'm like, perfect, I'm done. Okay, back to the TV.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like,
I love it. I want it. I just can't seem to work up the effort to read them.
Speaking of TV.
Yeah.
Runaways, season 2. Awesome. Did you guys watch Runaways at all?
The last episode of a comic book related TV show I watched was probably episode 3 of Black Lightning when it aired on Netflix.
There you go.
A year and a half
season
ago.
Season 1. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, so, season 2 is out, right?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Speaking of season,
I'm like about 3 episodes into season 2 and I just kind of lost it.
Mm. Punisher?
That's coming soon, yeah.
It's out today, is it not?
Today?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it is, according to the Facebook people going, oh,
I don't know, because the Grand Tour's on TV.
Boo.
And I'm just done. Like, I'm finished. I'm just I'm just such a junkie for that show and Top Gear and stuff. I'll just be, like, non-nerding in my automotive nerding part.
There you go.
There's 57 days left until the next Formula One race, and I'm like, I want to smell gasoline and oil and cars. And but that's my other geekdom.
Yep.
But other than that, I think we got 3 minutes left here.
Yeah, we could go as low as a minute.
Well, there we go. But yeah, Runaways. You guys are excited about it because you guys read the comic. I did not.
I read the first series. Maybe the second series,
yeah,
too.
I think I was burnt out on Gifted. I think I tried to watch Gifted and get into Gifted, and then Runaways came along.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'll watch this when I finish Gifted, and I never did.
Yeah, so I binged season 2 of Runaways,
yeah,
and then I went back to Gifted. I thought they both were great. I love seeing Polaris on TV. That's pretty
cool. Yeah.
She made the... She made her little green headband.
Oh, did
she? To get that far? Yeah. I guess her father, which they never say his name, but her father, who was Magneto, left her this round thing, and she ended up using her powers to shape it into like a green band that she uses.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And she's learned to put metal bars or whatever in her boots so she can fly. So
oh,
it's awesome.
There you go. Oh, we'll see how it goes.
That's good. Check it out.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm sure when there's a lull in the TV, I'll plow through some stuff. But I was going to do that this Christmas, and I ended up buying Tom Baker's first season of Doctor Who and Peter Davison's first season of Doctor Who and the Buck Rogers season 1 and 2 and the Magnum PI box set. And I'm just like plowing through those. I'm like, oh my gosh.
See, now I buy those things and then put them on the shelf and watch Netflix.
Oh, yeah. No. Like, you were talking about on the last show getting the Batman animated series,
yeah,
right? And I'm like, oh, I bought that too. Haven't watched a single episode. And then I'm thinking, wait a sec. I bought the fancy deluxe Batman 66 Blu-ray set
With the car in it
and the theme music when you push it. Haven't watched a single episode.
Can I have the car?
Why?
I don't know.
I feel like it was just a standard Hot Wheels. I'm sure it was almost identical.
Probably.
They did have a couple of those larger, remember those $10 Hot Wheels cars that we were looking at, the Batmans? They had
Dollarama.
At Dollarama, the wing and another one.
So that's all the time we've got.
There you go.
Marty can talk us out this time.
Okay, everybody. Hey Kids Comics. We're glad we're back. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. As always, go to www.heykidscomics.ca for direct downloads of older episodes, and we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?